It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, presented, of course, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. 5 teams, 7 years, classic journeyman, you know the deal. Now I got a bunch of media gigs, more importantly, a bunch of podcasts. Andrew Brandt was stellar on today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast, talking Kyler Murray, Carson Wentz, and of course, Aaron Rodgers. I thought Andrew said some very interesting things. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. He does not think Aaron Rodgers is going to be back with the Packers this year, which is huge. We also have, of course, the Even Money Betting Podcast, which is very popular. The College Draft Podcast, it's this year, right now. This is the time of year where that podcast shines. And, of course, Andrew Brandt does his Business of Sports podcast. Tony Dungy this week talking about improving the head coach hiring process. You can always check me out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod, and we're on YouTube now, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Today is a good day because we are combining the current star of the show, Joe Dolan, the fantasy gangster, at FG_Dolan from fantasypoints.com, with the godfather of the Fantasy Feast podcast. He literally came up with the name for the show that you are listening or watching now, and was the guy that made it really popular, helped really grow the show, Mr. Evan Silva from EstablishTheRun.com, at Evan Silva. Evan, Joe, how are you guys?
I'm doing great. And, you know, Joe Dolan, great job carrying the torch. But yeah, it's great to be back. I'm glad we have to do this every year.
Evan, I appreciate you lighting the torch first and foremost. So now this was great. Ross told me you were going to be the guest. I'm like, this is perfect because, you know, it's just like a great way to catch up. We should do it multiple times a year. Like, obviously because we're just all decompressing. I know, Evan, like you're probably resting a little bit more than you get during the season. And like, but always, as always, everybody's like, you know, I spoke to a college class yesterday and they're like, you know, what do you do in the off season? And I'm like, I like not to compare myself to an athlete, somebody who's actually done it like Ross, but you rest up, you deal with your dings and dents that you've accrued mentally in our case, and then you prepare for next season and you look to get better and you look to prepare in the way you know how, like hitting the weight room. So we're already, I know you're working on your free agent rankings. We're getting ready for the combine. You know, we're looking at the coaching changes. It's all about getting ready for 2022.
Yeah. I'm really trying to stress health at this time of year because late in the season, I mean, you know, it's dark. The freaking sun is going down at, you know, 2 p.m. It's cold where I live. You know, it's there's no bye weeks, you know, down the stretch. And I always feel very unhealthy in the month of December. So I bought a Peloton. I got some athletic greens. And I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, these athletic greens, I mean, these are legit, man.
I got to give them a try because I've been hearing all about that. You follow me on Peloton, though, Evan. I got one last May.
Nice.
And I am on a 40-week streak.
Wow.
That's and I'm sick, actually wrapping up my my Power Zone training program this week. I promised my wife that I wouldn't become a Pella bro, that I wouldn't be posting constantly about it on social media. And I've lived up to that promise, but this was unprompted, Ross. I didn't know he was going to talk about that.
Yeah, I know we're doing ads here. I don't know, Ross.
But, who's your favorite instructor? So
I would
far,
love Evan? To, I would love to do ads for Peloton. We do ads actually for Athletic Greens.
I know.
I just recorded the Ross Tucker Football Podcast with Andrew Brandt, who's a big Athletic Greens guy. But Andrew's like, Evan, Andrew does like triathlons. Is he 61 years old or something? He's a freak. But it's athleticgreens.com/Ross. So here we got, even Evan is singing the praises. So That is awesome. Really good to hear. How are things? Before we dive into the subject matter, Evan, how are things at Establish the Run? What's the latest?
Oh, it was an awesome year. I mean, it's really been, you know, the best decision of my life was like leaving, you know, the big corporation to go work for myself. It was another incredible year. So glad I did it. You know, the daughter loves it. She gets all into it. She wears like the Establish the Run shirts to school and stuff, you know? So yeah, we're having a blast, and it's been a great success. I'm so glad I did it.
That is awesome. All right. The reason why it's a great success is because of you and your partners, but also your acumen. Most people that are listening to Fantasy Feast are watching. They listened to you for years. I guess I have kind of an interesting question. I feel like we do this every year, but I'll ask both of you. And Joe, I know you've got a couple, so maybe I'll start with Evan. I want to do this episode about lessons, fantasy lessons we learned from the 2021 season. And I guess my question for you, Evan, first, actually, you know what? Since Joe has the first one, I'm going to go with Joe first, actually. Joe, do you believe that there's such a thing? Do you believe that, okay, this season taught me that I need to do this moving forward? Do you believe that you can get a hard and fast rule or lesson from a season, or is it not really work that way?
I think that's an excellent question, Ross, you know, because I was talking to Hanson, who does the lesson learned article every year. And a lot of times, you know, you try to come up with those things and you think of one thing and then you end up thinking of 10. But I think you have to be careful that it's not just something micro that only really applied to last season. You know, you have to be careful to think that, oh, you know, this was, I drafted a running back first overall and he got hurt, so I'm never doing that again. Like, you can't look at it from that perspective. Now, even the ones that I have, you know, like, there's a chance that it doesn't work out next year, but I think the lesson that I have kind of bottled up is something that can be applied. And it's something that I start to talk to people about during the season. And it's one for the last couple of years has really come true. And it's your fab budget is there, Ross. Use it. And not to move on from the question that you asked, because I think your point was extremely valid that, like, If you just do the opposite of things that didn't work out for you this past season, that's not a great way to win in the next season. But for the fab budget, the way I look
Joe, I want to stop you right there.
Please
before
do.
Before we get to the fab budget,
okay.
I did want to hear Evan's thoughts.
Please.
On the
let's do that on the
existential question that I am asking here, which is, because Evan, we did this every year.
I know.
So if you're going to tell me now that no, you can't, what did we do every year we were doing the show? We would always, one of the first or two episodes after the season, we bring a guest on or you, and you would talk about the lessons you learned from it. So you clearly believe that there are lessons you can take from a year moving forward.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to, you know, go crazy and try to make up that I, you know, the fact that I like learned, you know, 15 things or something. This, I mean, I've been doing this for almost two decades at this point. I mean, it's like 15, 16 years, you know? So, and you know, every year it is, I mean, it's essentially the same, but I don't know. I have my contribution to that coming up, but I did want to say regarding what Joe said, Elijah Mitchell was the perfect example. And this is an anecdotal example. It doesn't happen like this every year, but it was after week one, right? The bidding for Elijah Mitchell. And there were people out there saying, what are these idiots doing bidding on Elijah Mitchell, investing, you know, all their fab into a Shanahan backfield? It's going to be musical chairs all year. You know, taking that chance, the people that did do that really benefited from that, especially down the stretch. I mean, Elijah Mitchell was a guy that you could plug and play every single year or every single week. And so, you know, that, I mean, that's, I think that's a great example of why, yeah, use your fab, man. I mean, it's, you know, do not be one of these people making fun of the people that bid on Elijah Mitchell. You know, be one of the people that is bidding on Elijah Mitchell, please. Even if you don't want to bid, you know, 755 out of your 1,000, like, put in a bid, put in a solid bid, you know, because that's an opportunity. Elijah Mitchell in a Shanahan running game, and I know that people have gotten frustrated over the years about Tatum Bell and Mike Bell and Mike Anderson and Elandis Gary and, you know, Evan Royster, Roy Helu. Like, you know, we could go through the laundry list of Shanahan backs that
Dude, that's right? A lot of legendary names right there.
I know, right?
Penn State's all-time leading rusher in there.
Did I hear a Evan Royster and a Roy Helu?
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, I mean, but in terms of, yeah, I mean, I think there's always a couple of lessons that you know, you can learn every single year. But I'll give mine when we're done
here. Yeah. I wanted to bounce off, obviously, what Evan said, because it turns out the question was asked week one, is Elijah Mitchell worth 40% of your fab budget, okay? And there was a huge debate, and by week like 8 or 9, the answer was obviously yes. I mean, you look back at in terms of ranking for the full season, and this is important for the full season, because I know people won championships with Boston Scott and Justin Jackson in their lineups. Well, that's a little bit different. But if you're ranking for the full season, who are the best waiver wire pickups? They were Elijah Mitchell and basically Cordarrelle Patterson. Those are the, and you could have bought in on both of those guys right after week one. Patterson for a little less than Mitchell, but you have to keep in mind there's fewer practices, there's fewer preseason games. Oftentimes, we don't get the opportunity to look at, you know, some of these maybe younger players or players in a new situation who are busting out in training camp. And oftentimes, I'm not even sure teams know, you know, what's going to happen. Like, I think the Falcons certainly
they don't know. Yeah.
The Falcons certainly came into this season thinking, man, Mike Davis is going to be our lead back. And then all of a sudden, in each early season game, Cordarrelle Patterson is doing more with fewer touches than Mike Davis. And they decided they needed to give Mike Davis more touches. But I always tell people, look, your fab, that's not telling you, Ross, that you blow $100 in week one. That's not what I'm saying. It's always nice to have $7, $8, $9 left over for the playoff weeks when you need to put in a $3 bid for Justin Jackson when your opponent has only $2 left. That's not what I'm saying. But I am stunned each and every season by the amount of people who ask me on Twitter or in Discord, oh, Joe, it's week 9. What percentage of my fab budget should I put in for this important player? I'm like, dude, it's week 9. The playoffs are like 5 weeks away. What are you sitting on? Like, if you've got $65 left, like there's really no need. I think you can blow your fab early. I think you can blow a half of it early and then very carefully use the rest later on, especially when it's somebody like Mitchell, who we know, like Evan was going to, we know a Shanahan running back is going to have some success. And that certainly plays into, you know, why Elijah Mitchell was such a good pickup.
Even all those guys that I rattled off, like they each had at least like, you know, 3, 4, 5 usable weeks. I know it was frustrating that they weren't the feature back for the entire season, right? Yeah. But they all had usable weeks.
And that's why it's so important at the running back position too, because like you pick up Elijah Mitchell. Okay, you had to reconfigure your brain because we spent all offseason drafting Trey Sermon in the 6th and 7th round. Okay, well, Elijah Mitchell, if Trey Sermon did what Elijah Mitchell did this past year, we'd be talking about Trey Sermon as a first round pick for fantasy. You know, it's just you need those early weeks. And you need to reconfigure your brain after those early weeks saying, okay, this was my offseason take. I didn't want to draft Raheem Mostert because he always gets hurt. So that's why I was drafting Trey Sermon. But Raheem Mostert did get hurt and Trey Sermon was inactive. So why can't Elijah Mitchell be what we thought Trey Sermon was going to be? So I think you use those early weeks to maybe take some of those offseason takes that you developed, understand where those takes were right, and then understand where they were wrong and then reapply them. And I think that with the fab budget thing is really important. Now, you look back the last number of years, though, beyond Elijah Mitchell, James Robinson, this is a little bit different because he was announced as like their RB1 like right before week one in 2020. But I don't know how many people were actually buying that. Like, oh, pff, they've got this undrafted guy, you know, they cut Fournette, but I don't know how much I'm buying that. But there's always an opportunity. Philip Lindsay a couple years ago was a guy who was an undrafted guy who ended up having a lot of impact as a rookie and was available on the waiver wire. So I'm pretty sure in 2022, just based on recent trends, there's going to be a running back who is going to be either drafted extremely late for people who draft like the week before the season, James Robinson was drafted a lot in best ball leagues in 2020 in the week or 10 days before the season, but was basically undrafted in everything before that. Maybe you do your draft in the middle of August and some of these guys slip through the cracks. Every single year, there's going to be a running back, I think, after week one or week two, who nobody was talking about in May, nobody was talking about in June, and is going to make an impact very early in the season. And those guys are worth spending the fab on, especially if they're in a situation, like Evan alluded to, where we know they have success, like in a Shanahan backfield.
So, okay, quick question. Part of what I think my job is to remind you guys that we get new listeners sometimes. We get people, believe it or not, that are just getting into fantasy football. Joe, explain fab budget.
Okay, so it's the best way to play waivers in fantasy football. Basically, you get in some leagues 100, some leagues 1,000. Basically, it's multiples of 10, and you're essentially spending the same, more of a percentage of your budget. But basically, early in the week when waivers are locked, everybody in the league gets an equal opportunity to claim a player, but you have to use a percentage of that budget, whether it's 100 fake dollars, 1,000 fake dollars. Some leagues use real money for waiver budgets. And you get an opportunity to bid, and whoever bids the highest wins the rights to that player on the waiver wire. Other leagues, it's more old school now, just use basic waiver priority. That's another thing. Use your waiver priority. It's the same concept, but FAB is a little bit more strategic. But that's what that is. Free agent auction budget, Ross. That's what it stands for.
I didn't even know what that stands for.
All right, well, there you go.
Evan, you didn't know what it stood for?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, free agent auction budget. That's
what you were never curious as to what FAB was?
Yeah. I knew it was like free agent bucks. I didn't know it was, you know, all those technicalities.
That is so funny. What about before we get to your lesson learned, Evan, I do just want to point out, yes, we know you can't be betting on football these days. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now anyway. Use promo code Ross. Bet just $1 on any NBA team and get $150 in free bets if they win. So that's promo code Ross at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Pretty darn cool. All right, Evan, what is your lesson learned?
My lesson learned is that this game is not static and that it can be influenced heavily by real-world, real-life events. I mean, at this point, I mean, for the last 2 years, we have had an entirely new additional injury report called the COVID list. And I mean, the league itself has had to make changes. I mean, it was crazy late in the season. I could barely write my matchups column on Establish the Run because you didn't know. I mean, because I write so much of that, like on Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, you had no idea if the quarterbacks were going to play in a given game. So, I mean, you have to be able to adjust to actual real life, real world events. Also the 18 game season. I mean, it is, you know, it's only one extra week, you know, but it really does add a lot. And also the fact that
in what way, Evan?
Well, when you combine it with the COVID list, because the COVID list has, you know, added the essentially an entirely different injury report, and so much stuff would happen on like Friday night and then Saturday. Saturday used to be an off day for fantasy football analysis. Like I could go watch college football. I could go hang out with my kid. Saturday is literally another work day. We have to work every single day. I'm not complaining. I have, you know, a dream job for a lot of people. I love my job, but it is now a 7 day per week job. And when you combine it with
why is Saturday now a work day? Just because of,
because so much news would break on late Friday and then Saturday morning, not just injury report stuff, but the COVID stuff. Now it's possible that we're kind of starting to get out of the woods with regard to the COVID stuff. But I mean, you know, it has really changed the game, certainly from an analysis standpoint and from a player standpoint too. I mean, you had to pay attention on Saturdays. Now you have to pay attention. You can't just like, you know, go, oh, Friday, skip Saturday, wake up Sunday morning, get everything in order, like there, it became a lot more work over the last 2 years because of number one, the extra week, and also because Saturday is now like a really big day for fantasy preparation. That was for a very long time not the case.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that the COVID stuff calms down, and I would think, barring like, and I'm certainly not an epidemiologist or doctor, but barring another variant that's more severe, I think we probably are out of the woods. Amazing how nobody caught COVID in the playoffs, by the way.
My buddy Adam Levitan jokes that Roger Goodell started giving, instead of the COVID tests, Roger Goodell, they started giving pregnancy tests to all the players.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing? It's clean. Do you guys realize that there was like a 3 week period where I think a third of the NFL went on the COVID list?
Yes, man.
Well, I almost forgot about that.
There it coincided with the fantasy playoffs, of course. But Evan was talking about his Peloton earlier. But it's so funny because every Friday I would hop on at about, 3:30, 4 o'clock, like before the West Coast final injury reports are out, but after most of it was done. And every single damn week, I would put my phone on like one of the bottle holders on the Peloton. So I'd have my bottle here and
Joe
is
really into telling us how much he works out.
That, Ross, because I'm not in good shape. But like every single week without fail, I'd see a Slack message from Graham Barfield. And I'm like, well, here it comes. Who's ruled out now? And blows up all of our week of analysis. That's the thing that I think Evan might be getting into as well. Is like, you feel really good about this analysis that you had done all week.
Right.
And now you have to go rewrite it in like 25 seconds to try to make it distill it down to the new situation with guys on the COVID list. And it was so annoying to do that. So, hopefully we don't have real world circumstances like that in 2022 and beyond that effect. But, you can only do that. It honestly felt, Evan, like at some point, like around week 15, 16, I'm going through news articles to find tidbits. And I'm like, why the hell am I even doing this?
I know.
Like, what is the purpose of this? I'm going to have to change it anyway.
What about rookies? What about Jamar Chase? I mean, I know we played defense, but Micah Parsons. I guess we've had good rookies, but
yeah,
that was one thing that jumped out to me. Like
this, this was just a hell of a year. I mean, it was a hell of a class, And apparently, this upcoming class isn't that great. So
we do the college draft podcast. Right. I'm going to have Dane Brugler on soon from The Athletic. Does an awesome job.
Yeah,
his number one ranked player for this draft, okay, is Aiden Hutchinson. Okay. He says that Aiden Hutchinson would not have been a top 10 pick last year.
Jeez.
Think about that. I mean, that's bananas.
Yeah. I've listened to some of his podcasts so far this offseason, or entering the draft season, and he has compared this draft to like the Luke Jokel, Eric Fisher draft. I mean, he likes the draft in general. But it's just the star players are just, they're missing.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like a great year to have like a top 10 pick, Ross. Like there's still players like that could, I think in general, like Evan's alluding to, it's kind of deep at like offensive tackle, edge rusher. There's good receivers in the draft. I talked to our guy, Fran Duffy, a couple weeks ago, Ross, and I know we're going off on a tangent here, but I think the lesson is you can't just say, oh, rookies ruled the day for fantasy in 2021, so they're going to do the same in 2022. But I said to Fran, I'm texting him, and I said, is this quarterback class as bad as everybody says it is? And he's like, don't think there's not talent in it, though. Like, there are some interesting guys. He said, he likes Matt Corral. He thinks Pickett's a pretty decent player and Willis is super talented, but you do have to be careful here with these rookies. There is no Jamar Chase in this class. Doesn't mean somebody like Jahan Dotson can't get in a great situation and produce at the level, say, a Devontae Smith produced at this year, though.
But that was going to be my thing. Have we raised expectations for rookies now? Like when you think about Devontae Smith and Justin Jefferson the year before and Jamar Chase, I mean, wherever people were taking Jamar Chase, they were taking him too low, right? I mean, he should have been higher.
Oh, I got him.
He started going way late because you remember all the beat writer stuff that came out. Yeah. You know, how he, and it wasn't just that he was dropping passes. The beat writers were saying that he wasn't separating either in practice. The thing is that he's not really a big separation receiver. He's not really that big either. I mean, he's what, 6'1", 202 or something like that. He's not
6'4".
Like
he might be the best average size contested catch guy I think I've ever seen.
He plays so big for his size and his acceleration with the ball in his hands. I mean, maybe Odell Beckham, like as a rookie, I have not seen acceleration like that with the ball in his hands from anybody. I mean,
he's kind of a crazy combo of a average sized, terrific contested catch guy who also has crazy run after catch explosive ability. He's just a really unique guy.
Yeah. It's like Anquan Boldin, if Anquan Boldin had run like a 4.3 or 4.4.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I think that's a good comp. And like, but here's the thing, and it's not going to apply to this year, but like every model, okay, like, and I'm talking tape to statistical models, like, we publish a rookie prospect guide at fantasypoints.com with scouting reports from Greg Cosell. And Cosell is very measured, but he basically said in his analysis of Ja'Marr Chase, this guy has no weaknesses, no discernible weaknesses on film. Scott Barrett does a rookie model. He had Ja'Marr Chase as his best rookie wide receiver since Julio Jones in that model. And I think it's really important to not take 25 routes run from 3 preseason games and have that supersede all these smart people telling you something. Now, there's a case where smart people are going to disagree on something. Maybe the metrics are better than a guy's tape, or maybe his tape are better than his metrics, and there's active disagreement. But when everything lines up the way it lined up with Ja'Marr Chase, letting 25 snaps from the preseason just completely – and it did. It eliminated all that hype, because I got him in the 8th round of a 14-team keeper league, and it's a very competitive league. Ross, I'll fully admit, I haven't won this league in 13 years. That's how competitive it is. But I got Chase in the 8th round of that league because of the preseason crap, and I'm embarrassed I didn't take him earlier than the 8th round.
Yeah, but you guys always say, every year when we're doing this show in August, you're like, the beat writers, they're the ones there every day.
Yeah, this was an example of a situation where the beat writers really led you in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know, period. I mean, for the most part, I think that they're helpful.
They were beating the drum on Trey Sermon.
And they weren't wrong. All they were reporting what they were seeing. It wasn't just the preseason either. It was training camp. Like he's thinking. I mean, he was in a rut. He admitted it.
Yeah,
he admitted it. He said remember the thing about the stripes?
There was no lines on the ball. Yeah, like in college.
Yeah, I mean, it was a real thing. It's just, it wasn't predictive. You know what I mean? It was something that happened, and it just didn't matter. It wound up just not mattering.
You know, Ross, we're going to be wrong sometimes too. We're going to have our takes. Like not that I had a huge separation between them, but I was.
Joe, you get stuff wrong?
Evan, believe it or not, I do.
Like? What's that like?
I was drafting Robert Woods before Cooper Kupp, okay? I had a good fantasy year. If I was drafting Kupp over Woods, I would have had the best year of my life. But, like, you know, I get stuff wrong. But, you know, the beat writer reports, and here's another lesson learned. You can pay attention to them, but they're one piece of the puzzle.
Right.
But, Evan, you'll remember the beat writers were the ones were, like, in August, like, man, Trey Sermon, you know? And then it turns out Jaguars beat writers were telling us about James Robinson last year. And, like, those are valuable nuggets that, like, you have to hear the steady drumbeat of those things. And if you hear it once, all right. If you hear it twice, then your ears really start to perk up. I remember when it was Cat Terrell of The Athletic. Just in an offshoot in a column, she mentioned Latavius Murray's not a guarantee to make the Saints roster.
That's right.
At that point, he was an 8th round pick, Evan, like, basically everywhere.
Yep.
So, like, these guys, they're important to listen to these people.
It's important to follow you guys on Twitter as well, at Evan Silva. He's a stud. Can't wait till his free agent rankings comes out. Joe Dolan, at FG_Dolan. I mean, the guy's Twitter handle literally says fantasy gangsta, at FG_Dolan. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Check us out on YouTube, please. YouTube.com twitch.tv/RossTuckerNFL. Evan, great to see you, man. I like the beard you're rocking. Great to have you on again. We got to do this a couple times a year. You know how much I appreciate what you did for this show and how big of a fan I am. I remember, gosh, Evan, it might have been 14 years ago, 10 years ago, getting you on Sirius XM, you know, having you come on as a guest. And
I know.
I was always a big fan of what you were doing. I'm glad.
Appreciate that, man. Hey, man, nobody has helped me more than you, Ross. And, you know, I appreciate it. I got your can't see it here, but I got your autographed picture here in my little office. So appreciate it, man.
I got to get one of those.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, guess what? Evan, Joe, since you guys are big workout guys, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and the College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
A lot of times on the show, I mentioned DraftKings. Here's what you need to know. You got to be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. By the way, if what I was talking about included a deposit bonus, doesn't always, sometimes it does. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough, and deposit bonuses are paid out in site credit.